Well, I'd like to welcome you today to Trinity Church's online service. I'm so glad that you're able to join with us. If you happen to have a Bible nearby, why don't you go ahead and grab it, open it up to the book of 1 Corinthians, and today we're going to be in chapter 11. Well, today we have a very special service planned as we will be celebrating the sacrament of communion, or also known as the Lord's Supper. Now, if you're not familiar with communion, don't worry about it. We're going to be explaining it in just a moment. But before we do that, I have a favor to ask of you. In just a second, what I'm going to ask you to do is actually pause this video and then head out to maybe your kitchen and prepare for yourself the elements that you'll need to be able to celebrate communion today. So the two things that you will need is you'll need something that can serve as a symbol of Christ's body. So many times this would be maybe a piece of a cracker, a wafer, maybe a small piece of bread. And then also you'll need something that can serve as a symbol of Christ's blood. So many times what is used is some form of juice or wine. Now, what I want to encourage you to do is don't get hung up on exactly what you use as the elements, but what's important is really what the elements represent. So again, for myself here, I have a cup with just a little bit of juice in it, as well as a wafer that I'll be using in a moment. So again, if you want, go ahead at this time, pause the video, head to your kitchen, make yourself or prepare for yourself the elements, and then we'll take them together in just a few moments. Well, now that you're back, why don't you go ahead and set those elements to the side. In just a little bit, we'll take them together. Well, a few days ago, my wife and I celebrated the arrival of 2021 in the same way that many people celebrate it, and that is with a New Year's resolution. So our New Year's resolution for 2021 is that we are going to eat healthier for the year. And that is the exact same resolution that we made for 2020, which is also the same resolution that we made for 2019, as well as 2018. Isn't it interesting that many times our New Year's resolutions tend to be the same? They tend to be repetitive year after year. My guess is you've probably have noticed that, and maybe even have done it yourself. Now, this could be due to the fact that our resolutions are simply maybe wishful thinking that we don't really intend to follow through with, but I don't think that's actually true. Matter of fact, I think that the reason why our New Year's resolutions tend to be repetitive is because of just how important they are. I mean, think about it. We don't make New Year's resolutions to watch more television, right? We make New Year's resolutions to do things like eating healthier or going to the gym or spending more time with loved ones. We do this because we understand that these things, these resolutions are good things, things that we want in our life that we've come to understand are lacking. The problem is most of us, we're so busy with work or with school or maybe taking care of a home or, you know, engaging in sports or some sort of activity that the busyness of life causes us to lose sight of our resolutions. But then when New Year's comes along, it's almost like a flag waving or a pause button being hit that causes us to stop and to reflect, to reconsider, to think about what might be missing in our life? What important might be missing in our life? And we see those things and we go, yeah, this year I'm going to, right, fill in the blank. For us, it's eat healthier. You know, while it may sound strange, I think that we need a New Year's for our spirit. Meaning we need something that causes us to kind of slow down, to hit that pause button and to reflect on the condition of our soul. Something that allows us to ask if spiritually we're where we want to be, or if maybe spiritually something might be missing in our life. Well, you know, thankfully, God has actually given us that very thing. He's given us something that causes us to stop, to pause, to reflect, and to ask this question, might something be missing? And the beauty is, it doesn't just take place once a year like New Year's does, but it's something that really should be a daily time of reflection, a regular time of reflection to ask, are we where we want to be spiritually? And that reminder is communion, also known as the Lord's Supper. Listen to what the Apostle Paul writes to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now, maybe you grew up in a tradition like I did, in which communion was really kind of rarely discussed or celebrated. And I remember as a kid, there just being a lot of mystery surrounding communion. Now, when I say that, I'm not referring to theological mystery, meaning, right, we can get books on systematic theology and we can read about different beliefs or how different parts of the church practice communion. For today, we're not talking about those things. What I'm talking about is simply, I just didn't understand what was going on. Why are people eating this bread and drinking this cup? It didn't really make sense to me. Well, I like how scholar Gordon Fee puts it in a very simplistic way in his commentary, The First Epistle to the Corinthians. Listen to what Fee writes. The Lord's Supper that Christians celebrate is in fact a continuation of the Last Supper that Jesus ate with his own disciples, probably a Passover meal at which he reinterpreted the bread and wine in terms of his body and blood, soon to be given over in death on the cross. Now, the Last Supper is literally what it sounds like. It is the last meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, most likely during the Jewish celebration of Passover. And during this meal, Jesus used the elements of bread and wine as symbols or as references to his body and his blood. See, what Jesus taught his disciples was that just as bread is broken in order to be eaten and wine is poured out in order to be drunk, so would his body be broken and his blood poured out or spilled on the cross to redeem them, to redeem us from our sins. And with that in mind, Jesus told his disciples, therefore the church, that whenever we eat bread and drink juice or drink wine of the cup, what we're to do is we're to recall the price that Jesus paid to redeem us. Now, the reason why Jesus gave this memorial service, the reason why Jesus tells us to do this is really twofold. First and foremost, communion keeps fresh in our minds the price that Jesus paid to save us. And recalling the depths of Jesus' suffering, what it does is it gives us a glimpse of God's love. Listen to what Romans 5:8 says. God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus suffered on the cross because he loves us. And what communion does is communion calls to memory God's amazing love, the love that he has for his church, revealed in his suffering on the cross. So communion, it celebrates God's love. But communion also does this. Communion calls us to a place of surrender. Listen to how Paul continues his address to the Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 11, starting in verse number 27. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty concerning the body and blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself then, and so eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment on himself. This is why many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. But if we judged ourselves truly, we would not be judged. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined, so that we may not be condemned along with the world. Now, I don't know about you, but the first time I read these verses, they frightened me. I mean, it almost seems like Paul is saying that if we take communion and we struggle with sin, it's almost like taking in poison. I mean, there's a chance we could die. But that's not exactly what Paul is saying. Paul is warning the church in Corinth and us of the importance of understanding the message of communion. See, in the Corinthians' case, what was going on is that the rich were really, they were gorging themselves on food and they were getting drunk. And those who were poor were being excluded. They weren't allowed to eat, so they were leaving hungry. And Paul says that what was taking place in that situation wasn't actually the celebration of the Lord's Supper. It was really just a pagan feast because it wasn't being really done unto the Lord. Now we hear that and we go, well, that sounds rough. But the reason why Paul is saying this is because communion isn't just a memorial. It's also, it's a call to discipleship. Listen to how scholar David Garland in his commentary on 1 Corinthians discusses this. He says that all must remember that Christ's atoning death was necessary because of our sinfulness. Consequently, the supper is to be eaten in an atmosphere of self-examination. When we partake in communion, we should do so by asking God to reveal to us if there's any area in our life that needs to come into submission to His Lordship. Meaning this, if there's any area of our life in which we might be living contrary to what His will is for us. You know, when we come to the table, we come not because we're perfect or because we don't have any sin, nor do we come acting like our sin doesn't matter. Actually, our posture should be just the opposite. When we come to the table, we come acknowledging our sin, that we need God's grace and God's forgiveness. And we partake of the table seeking not only for God to forgive us, but to ask Him for the strength to help us to overcome our sin. Therefore, what Paul is warning the Corinthian church and therefore warning us about is sin, the sin of being defiant, the sin of being unrepentant. You know, it's a person that doesn't care that they're living in rebellion to God. It's the person who acts like their sin doesn't matter that Paul is warning of here. And Paul says actually that if that's our attitude, if that's our heart, it's better not even to partake of the supper because we would actually be bringing judgment upon ourselves. Paul says that's why we need to examine ourselves. We need to examine ourselves and ask if there's areas of our life that need to come into submission to Jesus. And as God reveals those things to us, as God reveals to us our sin, we're called to confess them and to ask God to cleanse us from our sin and then to help us to leave those sinful things to follow Him. So therefore, when we come to the table, when we celebrate communion, we do so with a humble heart that is open to God's direction and seeks to be faithful to His leading. So we could say this, that while communion is a time of celebration, it is also a time of reflection. Well, today we're going to do the very thing that we have been discussing, and that is together we're going to partake in communion. We're going to celebrate the Lord's Supper together. But before we do that, I want to encourage you to just take a few moments to reflect and to ask God to show you if there's any area of your life in which you're not living in submission to His will. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask you is in just a second to actually pause this video for the second time and just take the time. Take the time to pray and to ask God to show you if you're where He wants you to be spiritually. And if God shows you an area of your life that maybe you're not living surrender to His will, or an area that you can continue to grow, then to repent and ask Him for the grace and the strength to live in submission to Him. So go ahead at this moment, pause it, and then when you're ready, we'll come back and we'll take communion together. Well, now that you're back, what I want to do is invite you to take hold of the elements that you prepared earlier, and we're going to pray, and then we will take them together. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today for sending Jesus to die in our place, to save us from our sins. And Jesus, we thank you for graciously giving your life in our place. Holy Spirit, as we prepare to celebrate communion, we ask that you would reveal to us if there is any sin in our lives. Show us if there is areas of our life that are not being lived in submission to Jesus. And Jesus, we pray that you would forgive us of this. You would forgive us of our sin, and that you would strengthen us to resist sin and to live the life that you've created us for. Father, help us to surrender ourselves to you. And Jesus, we pray this all in your holy name. Amen. Well, at this time, I invite you, please partake in the Lord's Supper. Well, as we conclude today, my prayer for you is that you will daily celebrate the salvation that Jesus has secured for you on the cross, and that you will surrender yourself to God daily, and that you will be strengthened by the Holy Spirit to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus. Grace be with you.